feel the beat goes on. Yeah, baby, let me show you how to do this. How to move this. You're doing fine.
Hajjad's L.A. Back from a week off. Apologize to all those who are watching on video. For obvious reasons, my face is bringing bright red. I don't know if it has anything to do with the six beers I just pounded, the 80 degrees in the studio, all these good-looking women walking around here talking about fetishes and whatnot. Moving on. We got all types of things to talk about. Super Bowl, obviously. All types of news in college football world. Starting off with something that hit home with me. Northwestern, this past week, filed paperwork to form a union, a players union, through the United Steelworkers Union. I thought that was fascinating that a college team could do that. And, of course, all types, it turned into a political issue right away. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork. But I think the demands they're making are actually fairly pedestrian, fairly mundane. They're looking for limited contact at practice. They want independent concussion experts on the sidelines for every game. They want the school to pay medical expenses for all sport-related injuries. And they want their athletic scholarships paid at full cost. And they want laundry, and they want to get paid to go home, to be able to fly home. They want a small percentage of all fees earned by the NCAA to go into continuing education for guys who leave college early. I think these are all fair requests. People are coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, they already get paid in the form of a scholarship. Yeah, bullshit. They make these kids go to school, even though I would say 50% of them, being a conservative estimate, have no business going to college classes. They have no interest in going to college classes, but they're forced because the powers that be, it's the only farm league to go to. Packers CEO Mark Murphy came out this week and said, oh, a union would only cause the NFL to have a developmental league. Fine, they should have a developmental league. Some bullshit, we force these kids to go to college. Even though they have the talents to make money otherwise, you force them to go to college for 2-3 years. Good for Northwestern. Another thing I just caught my eye, fascinating story. Missouri All-American defensive end Michael Sam, who was the 2013 SEC Defensive Player of the Year, DN, came out of the closet the other day and, you know, came out and said he was a homosexual. First of all, it'd be interesting to see how that affects his draft status. Shouldn't. The guy was the SEC Player of the Year. And it'd be an interesting story going forward, especially someone at the beginning of his career, because they made a big deal about Jason Collins, a basketball player, but he's at the tail end of his career, and he's not very good anyways. But this is a guy who potentially be really good. SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Just came out. Came out in an article in the New York Times. I guess he came out with his teammates this season and just came out publicly. See, it'd be interesting to see how he slides, because the NFL culture, as we know, I don't know. I don't know if they're willing to accept it. We'll see. Speaking of the bully culture, the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin saga, they released over 1,000 text messages between Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito this week. And straight up, all those text messages reveals those two were homies. Okay, Richie Incognito was vulgar and crass toward Jonathan Martin, but Jonathan Martin was equally, maybe not equally, but he was vulgar and crass as well to Richie Incognito. It's a bullshit. Richie Incognito's getting screwed. See what happens with the Dolphins. Dolphins are a mess. Dolphins got 2-14 written all over them next year. Back in the college game before we get into the Super Bowl, and I got a call to make to a long lost buddy of mine, but Notre Dame is putting $400 million into the stadium for upgrades. They're gonna put a rec center, a career center, and a department of music inside the football stadium. $400 million. And not even that many people go to Notre Dame. It's under 10,000 go to Notre Dame. Pop out $400 million on a new stadium. Good for the Irish. They always keep themselves relevant one way or the other. AJ McCarron tweeting out in the Grammys that the Grammys were demonic. The Grammys were an evil show to watch and that he had to stop watching them because of how evil they were. I'd put a red flag on me drafting AJ McCarron. He wants to see evil. He'd go hang out with Richie Incognito in the offensive line for the Miami Dolphins. What else we got in the college game before we get? Well, Javad Best. running back from Cal ended up going to the Lions. Ended up with a he ended up suing. Suing Rydell and Easton Bell Sports, the makers of the helmets, suing the helmet makers for, was it $10 million? And they talking possible lawsuit in the NFL against the NFL doctors. They said they should have known, they shouldn't even played them. Tell you, these concussion things and will never go away. It's only, I don't know. I've spoken at length on this topic. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this stuff will not go away. He's suing the helmet makers. Fascinating. I'm reading a book right now called Newton's Football. And I'll talk about it a little bit more at length in a future episode. But they're basically saying concussions weren't around until they came out with the face mask, which is something I've been saying in this program for weeks now. For all five of my listeners have been hearing it. As soon as they put the face mask on and empowered defensive players to lead with their head, that's when the problems began. That's when all of a sudden the concussions started showing up. Before then, they said they weren't really want that many concussions because the defensive players were looking out for their own best interest as well. So they wouldn't go and stick their head in there. Moving on from the college game to the pro game, Hall of Fame announcements were made. Andre Reed, Michael Strahan, Walter Jones, tackle for the Seahawks, Derek Brooks, linebacker for the Buccaneers, and one of the greatest linebackers I've ever seen play. No question about it. Never missed a game in his life. Played for one team. Well deserved. Aeneas Williams, good cornerback from the Cardinals. Punter Ray Guy getting in. I know a lot of people have been pulling for Ray Guy and been campaigning for Ray Guy for years, but I don't know. He only led the league in punting 3 years. I don't get it. I mean, Ray Guy, yeah, he was a great punter, but I don't know. You got a guy like Ray Guy going to the Hall of Fame. You got a guy like Tim Brown still sitting on the sideline. I don't know. You mean kicking wise, Mort Anderson was a great kicker as well. He's probably be in there before Ray Guy, but I digress. Not having football around is a huge void on Sundays. Tried watching the Olympics, but Winter Olympics, I just don't get it. I just don't like the Winter Olympics. First of all, any American who's involved in the Winter Olympics, you got to understand these are kids of privilege, okay? Because the very nature of the Winter Olympics cuts off a huge percentage of the population who just have no exposure whatsoever to these winter sports. Figure skaters and skiers, I grew up in Massachusetts. The girls who figure skated were the most pompous, stuck-up girls, pretentious girls with overbearing dads. And the skiers were some of the worst. People who ski seriously all the time in the area, the type of guys that drive around with those stickers on the back of their truck say 26.2, shit like that. You know? It's those types of people just annoying as fuck. All right. Without further ado, I want to introduce somebody that I've been looking to bring on this show for months now. My brother from another mother. Bunk 57 Low, Joe Steele. What up, Joe Steele?
Hey, what's happening with you, Coach? How you doing?
Good. How you been? Staying out of trouble?
Oh, man. I'm trying to do my best. The best way to do that is stay in the house.
Yeah, you don't want to go out there. That's for sure. I try not to as well. Watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course, man. Who didn't?
What'd you think?
Boring, but I'm happy for Pete Carroll.
Why?
I've always been a Pete Carroll fan, man, just the way he bonds with the coaches. Anytime you can get people to rally around you like the way he does, you know, it's just an awesome thing. And, you know, the only person I could think of like that other than you was a guy back in Mount Sac days named Bill Fisk. And a lot of people from days and days and years and years from they're still in NFL to this day can, you know, thank Bill Fisk. So that's kind of the same atmosphere that, you know, Coach Carroll provide.
I try to beat on Pete Carroll because, you know, he was coach of the Patriots for 2 years. They were not the best years, but I agree with you. Pete Carroll is something else. You know, you gotta hand it to him. The guy's built a philosophy. He gets his team to play hard all the time. You know what I mean? The guy's out there throwing the ball around, playing catch with the guys before the game. I think and he's number one guy players want to play for in the league. I think he's really right. Changing the way that coaches are in the NFL. You're right. I'll give it to him, too. I'll give it up. But We think of Richard Sherman saying that they beat the best, second best team in football the week before. Your 49ers, thoughts on that?
I can't take the second best. I'm always going to say that we're still the first, regardless of what happened. And you know their little dispute. Richard Sherman, he's doing all right now, but every corner that does high for a season, they always think that they're the best. You know, I don't really got love for corners being a wide receiver myself. But at the same time, the Niners, like I say, and I mark my words, they're going to win the Super Bowl next year. You know, third time's the charm. And you know, it's been mistakes that we've done. You know, that makes it, you know, to where why we didn't win. But you know, being a Niners fan, I would say this to the listeners: if we can get a different offensive coordinator to open up the offense and stop allowing people to be able to blitz us and cause Kaepernick to throw under pressure and things like that, you know, let's use him. Let's use his feet. Make him use him when it's time to use him, when there's no one to throw it to. So we need to open up the offense a little bit, spread it out. As far as us being the second best team, you know, like I said before, Richard Sherman is just a hothead. His dreads are too tight.
You think the 49ers' problems to get over the hump and beat the Seahawks, other than, you know, unforeseen circumstances, injuries and all that, you think they got to get a new offensive coordinator?
I think if not a new one, just open it up. You know, we got too many weapons. You know, we got Patton, we got Michael Crabtree back, Vernon Davis, you know, and Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, Kaepernick. It's just too many offensive weapons just to have us all cluttered up like that. It's just too much.
It's amazing to me, and I think the 49ers have blown it 2 years in a row. They're in the position to win the game. They're in position last year to win the Super Bowl, and they're in position this year to go to the Super Bowl. And they throw up, this year in particular, he throws up a 50-50 jump ball with a 6'3 corner who's lanky as all hell. You throw a fucking jump ball on 2nd and 10, okay? You tell me there's nothing. That's a 50-50 ball at best. You're going to put everything going to the Super Bowl on just a jump ball against a 6'3 corner. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how poorly coached I think some of these teams in the NFL are. They just got all the players. They got all the talent.
I mean, it's experience, you know, and not too many people like Ben Roethlisberger or Russell Wilson, for example, now can come in their first couple of years and win a Super Bowl. And right now, Colin Kaepernick's struggling with years of just learning how to sit back and read coverages, he won't make that mistake again. You know, and like we all know, even some of the frustrated 49er fans, you know, dealing with Kaepernick, you know, throwing ill-advised passes and things of that nature, you know, it's just hard. We all know that, you know. But if he can go and just over the summer, over the break time, go sit down with Tom Brady, even Peyton Manning for that, you know what I mean, for that right there, and just learn how to read coverages and be able to make changes, I think he'll be a better quarterback. You know, it hurts when you make mistakes on our team. No one just beat us, except for the Rams this year. No one just outplayed us.
And the Rams gave it to them too.
Right? They outplayed us. I give them that.
But here's the bad news.
Go ahead.
Here's the bad news for the 49er fans and Seahawks fans to a certain extent. They're really lucky in the fact that they have these quarterbacks, these stud quarterbacks under their rookie contracts, especially the 49ers, because they ain't paying Kaepernick shit. And as soon as they have to rig and bust the bank for Kaepernick and pay him big money, they can't have all these defensive players running around everywhere. I mean, the salary cap is really going to catch up to a team like the Niners. But
right. We
shall see. That's why I play him.
Right.
Is this the first Super Bowl you've got to watch? When's the last Super Bowl you got to watch?
Oh man, I've been watching all of them, man. Because you know, on my sit down time, sports is mandatory, regardless to what TV I'm at.
They let you guys watch the Super Bowl?
Ah, yeah, man. Yeah, when that's what it is. When you're in there, you're behind that wall, man. That's the only thing you look forward to is getting right to the front of the TV the best way you can. So, you know, we get to watch it, and but this year, you know, like I was saying, I was able to watch it at a different TV. I didn't have to, you know, in the solitude of my own home, I was able to watch it this year.
Oh, that must have been sweeter.
Oh, man. It was like, honey.
now, when you're in prison, when you're watching games on Sundays, I mean, who decides what games you watch?
I mean, that's just like, you know, you always got the leaders that emerges, you know. So, you know, with the thing being on 2 and 11, you know, you get to kind of flip back and forth. So you try to be, on a commercial break, you try to flip over real fast to go watch the other one, just like you do at home.
Wait a minute. They don't give you guys the NFL Sunday ticket package? You have to watch the national games?
Oh, that's just like they're giving us big fat steaks. Hell no, they ain't giving us no damn
that's
NFL
cruel
package.
Cruel and unusual punishment. What the fuck is going on over there? I would think they would give you the NFL package, the plastic, you know?
Hell no, man. You got one dude standing on the top of the bench holding the antenna. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing nice in there, man. You watching through the photos and you playing guest plays. You know, you don't know who's winning at half the time. And if you got a bad angle on the TV or if you ain't got nobody to help you get a TV, you in trouble, man.
Who are the big teams in the Huskow? Who are they pulling for? Who the favorite teams at? Let me guess. I'm going to throw guesses out. No or nothing. I'm going to say Cowboys have a ton of pull. I'm going to say the Raiders. Of course, it is California. I'm seeing the Raiders have all types of fans. I would think the Steelers got a type of fans and the Niners. Who would you say were the number one teams people pulled for in the Huskow?
Oh, you know, I can't never hear nobody over me, so the Niners is always going to be number one.
Yep.
But then after that, you got the Cowgirls.
Yeah.
And then you got Choclin Traders. The Choclin Raiders.
Yep.
Whatever ones you want to call them, you know. The expansion 49er team, because, you know, the Choclin Traders get all of our rubbish after we're done with them.
The Cowboys do get a lot of stroke. I can't figure it out, man. I just can't figure it out.
Look, man, you can't – I give them – you know, the Cowboys, they get a little bit of, you know, kudos from me due to Dez Bryant, man. I just love Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant fan?
Yeah, I'm a big Dez Bryant fan. Dez Bryant is the man to me.
He's as talented as anybody in the league, no doubt about that. He no Randy Moss, but he's as talented as anyone in the league.
Yeah. Can't nobody stop that dude. Randy was hot, man. My favorite receiver all time.
What'd you think about Aaron Hernandez? Did you see this? Just came out this week that he was supposedly talking in phone calls out and he was saying things in code to some people trying to get them to shut up. And they're saying now that evidence is not going to be admissible in the trial against him, that he has rights as a prisoner calling out that they can't use that in trial against him. I think that's fucked up, no?
Which part of it? I got to understand your standpoint because, you know, I understand what he's saying and how he's feeling because, you know, you really don't know what's going on when you're outside. You know, you're trying to always play the guessing game when you're sitting down behind the wall and you're just thinking about your future. You know, he's not even thinking about the NFL right now. He's thinking about just his future in general. So if he's calling out for help to, like, just tell everybody, you know what, somebody's just saying the wrong things because, you know, the interrogators, they're trained to, you know, get people to slip up and, you know, mess up.
It's
so
true.
You know, I don't know which part of where your standpoint is as far as, you know, where you looking at the situation. What are you asking me again?
He's calling out. Right, he's calling people, and he's pretty much admitting stuff, and he's telling them to be quiet, and he's trying to get his ducks in a row. And they're saying that anything he says in those phone calls out is not admissible against him in his defense. You know what I mean? It's his prosecution. That whatever he says,
right,
it don't matter. He can say whatever he wants on those phone calls. That don't make any sense to me.
They're lying about that because when they really want it, they're going to find a way to get it into the court. You know what I mean? So it's not admissible, that proceeding or that phone call, but them trained professional lawyers are going to find a way to put it and get somebody to say something in that courtroom. And it's just all about who gets paid more by whose attorneys is getting paid more. That way, you know, that way they can go and bribe whoever they need to bribe to get whoever off the hook or get them hung. That's just how they work.
I think Hernandez is going to get out. They have no murder weapon. They can't find the murder weapon. It's a bunch of hearsay. There's all types of shit. I don't know if you've been following. I think he's gonna beat the rap. I think he's gonna. If he does, I think it'll stick him with something. But I don't think he's gonna be in there very long, man. I'd be surprised if he's in there for more than 5 years.
Well, that's what money does for you.
Yep.
No, if you got the money, you probably gonna get off.
Oh shit! It's all about having the friggin' lawyer and a guy like him. He's probably gonna get off. It would be interesting if he does get off if anybody signed him. I don't think they will.
I mean, you can't really say that. The kid's awesome, you know?
I know.
The kid is awesome. The kid is awesome. And, you know, we've seen some people go through murder trials and get off and come back and win Super Bowls, you know? So, you know, once the smoke blows over and, you know, everybody forgets about it, and they, you know, it's just me personally, over the whole overall view, I really honestly think he's an idiot.
You know? That's not a bold statement. No shit.
I mean, it's just, you just don't hang out. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't hang out with people like that, and that's going to get you caught up. You got people that's at the bottom that's just wishing they just had a chance to be on film, to be seen, to get in your spot. And then you're giving up everything just because you can't keep your head under. You know what I mean? I think he's an idiot.
An idiot. A fool. Had it all and pissed it away.
Hey. Right. Who does that?
Yeah, some people. More people than you think, you know? Just amazing the lifestyle people get caught in, up in. Regardless, what do you got? You got a flag football game tonight or something you got to go to?
Yeah, man. What you got to go out there. Over in this top, what did they call it? They changed it now. It's called Game Time. Right now I got a game off in Ontario. I mean, what is this? Yeah, it's in Ontario at Ayala Park. And I go out there, you know. I'm about the closest thing to Calvin Johnson / Dez Bryant all in one at a flag football game. You know?
Listen to you. Yeah, I'm sure they're not sticking you in any big physical corners.
It's kind of funny because they're all like the same size as my son. So, you know, like, and he's 7. So,
yeah.
It's just like a man amongst boys. So.
Yeah, listen you to know, you, man amongst boys. It's got to feel good, though, to go out there. Now, did you guys get to play at all in the joint?
Nah.
Nothing?
Nah, hell no, man. Hell no. You know, you throw some pigskin out there, you know, quickly, immediately. Hey, if you ever play flag for a touch football in the hood or anything, it becomes sideline pop fast. Yeah. And you know, you could be running up the center of the field and it's still considered sideline. So, you know, just imagine what it'll be like in there, man. Yeah, everybody in there got a whole bunch of aggression and testosterone just built up for many years. Somebody gonna get hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
So ain't nobody, they don't let no football. So.
And like the movies, you know, were trying to get a game against the gods or nothing, right? You can't get that shit.
Right. If we could do that, boy, it'd be some things. But at the same time, too, man, the way they play basketball in there is kind of similar to the tackle football. So if you can only imagine that, that's our form of football right there, boy. Them fouls in there is just like tackle football.
Prison rules, because they have for a reason, right?
and you better not call a foul either.
No thank you. Hey, we got to get you in. You play every Sunday night? Is that your deal?
We play every Sunday night, but you know, I'm definitely like when I can manage the time out and get the time, because you know, sometimes you know they might be able to schedule a later game than others, but you know, I'm definitely willing. I really want to come down there and spend some tables with you and, you know, mess with the volume button when you're not looking or anything.
I'll drop some knowledge on you coming here. Hey, good luck. I'm expecting at least 3 touchdowns tonight.
3 touchdowns? I do that with one hand. Come on, man. You got to give me something a little bit more challenging.
6.
All right. Now, that one I might have to do. What about 4 touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions? Can I do that?
You can do that, too. And you got to give me a haircut, too, as soon as you can get a chance to.
Oh, you know, I got you on the free buzz.
Yeah, run me up on a fade or something. Even though freaking my hair's going off the top, I don't know if fade looks silly at this point, but.
Oh, we'll bring you back, man.
All right, Joe, good talking to you.
Oh, yeah, look, one more. Yep. I can bring you back. And as long as your hairline don't look like LeBron James' hairline, we might be able to work with you.
That's the only thing on me. It looks like LeBron James, the fucking my red-headed hairline. That's about it.
That hairline, boy. That hairline's way to the back of his head now, boy.
Don't matter. He's the best player. All right, Joe. Good talking to you.
You as well.
Later.
Go.
What else we got here? Let's talk pregame Super Bowl. The Super Bowl hype shit just fucking drives me up a wall in general. I don't know why they have Kurt Russell introducing both teams like he's a huge fan. First of all, Kurt Russell, okay, he's not even relevant anymore. I can't name the last movie Kurt Russell was in. Of course, he was in a great football movie, The Best of Times. But he does these long, drawn-out intros about the Broncos and the Seahawks. It's just absurd. Do they even listen to fans? Do they even let people, you know, do they listen to what the fans want? Certainly not Kurt Russell watching that shit. And then you have Queen Latifah singing America the Beautiful. I don't know, if you had told me at 12 years old that Queen Latifah and the Fresh Prince were going to be the two of the most you know, two of the biggest celebrities in the world. I would have freaking told you enough. But Queen Latifah and the Fresh Prince are two of the biggest stars in the world still in 2014. Amazing. Queen Latifah sing that, and then they have Renee Fleming, namesake. Renee Fleming out there singing the national anthem. I thought it was all right. Of course, in the halftime show, Bruno Mars, I'm not a huge fan, but obviously the guy's talented. And then they had Red Hot Chili Peppers play, but they were practically, they weren't lip syncing, but the instrumentals were already dubbed over. But I thought it was cool at the end. I don't know if people picked this up. I didn't really read this. Maybe I was just my state, mental state at the time. But when the Chili Peppers were done playing Give It Away, which is a song from, what, almost 25 years ago now, I think they jammed out to a couple riffs of Sweet Leaf. I don't know if that was some kind of political message, because you got two teams out there, both from states where marijuana is legal. I don't know if there was, maybe I was just hearing things, but I could have sworn they riffed up a couple of riffs of Sweet Leaf. Well, you got all that shit, and you got all the commercials. Of course, the only one that really freaking stuck home was that Radio Shack commercial of the 80s with Hulk Hogan and Urkel and all types of people in the Radio Shack commercials. But other than that, as we talked about, the game was just awful right from the get-go. It's inexcusable to me. How does Denver, on the first play of the game, first of all, they shouldn't be audible. And second of all, the first play, they should have known. They should have been able to run that blindfolded. Okay, they're going to have an idea of what the Seahawks are in. Peyton, they should have known that the Super Bowl, the first play of the game is going to be super loud, regardless of the fans. People just going nuts because the game is finally, because they're sick of the two-week bullshit and all the ringing noise. So they're just going crazy. Peyton tries to, you know, call an audible, phew, snap over his head, 2 points. And I am thoroughly convinced that right there was the game. I think you punch somebody in the face early in football or in a fight, you bloody their nose right away, you water their eyes, and they're in retreat mode the rest of the way. Then he threw that pick and it was over. But I'm telling you, something I've been saying all year, my five listeners can attest to this. A quarterback like Brady or Manning against a really fast defense is vulnerable, because those defensive linemen, those really fast linemen, they just get to that spot. They know where Peyton's going to try to launch the ball from, and they're doing everything in the power just to get to that spot. It's why these jackoffs who know nothing about football, guys like that freaking neo-hipster Chuck Klosterman, saying, oh, it's a matter of time where you just have guys, you know, teams throwing the ball 60, 70, 80 times a game, every position. Every possession. Can't do that. And the reason being is the defense would counter, and they would counter actually fairly easily by just putting a bunch of freak fast athletes on the D line and just have them go and knock the guy off the spot. If you're not running the ball, if you're not establishing physicality on the offensive line, it's very easy to defend a team that you know is going to throw the ball every time, because you're just going to, you get a bunch of jackrabbits who can be 5'8", 5'9", 180 pounds, is just extremely fast. And they're going to get to that spot, and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady's of the world won't be able to get rid of the ball. Saw it with the Seahawks. Peyton looked flustered. You saw it with Brady when Tom Brady and the Patriots have lost to the Giants and lost to the Broncos. It's just the same thing. They get to that spot. So, you know, I don't know. It was a terrible game. Terrible game to watch. Terrible game for this furniture owner. A guy owned a furniture store. He lost. He said, if you bought more than $6,000 in furniture, we'd refund your money if the Seahawks won the game. What kind of fool would do that? It cost him $7 million, I guess, in sale. I guess he has publicity from it, but that don't get you shit. $7 million a guy lost because the Seahawks won. What kind of freaking bet was that? He could have come up with something a little bit better than that. Something a little bit, you know, tip the scales more fairly. Percy Harvin, dust him off, pay him $11 million this year to come out. That guy is ridiculously fast, though. If he can ever stay healthy and put it all together, you know, he's one of the fastest guys in the NFL, if not the fastest guy in the NFL. And it's just a simple high school play. Should have done it 15 times, did it twice. Little speed sweep, handoff. You never see in the NFL, so it was a good call again by Pete Carroll. Just whoop, beat the DN right around the corner twice. Threw him some little shit bubble screens, and then, of course, the death knell, the death blow, the kickoff return at the end of the half. Because I still thought, and a lot of people still thought, look, the Broncos got a shot. He had a touchdown, a turnover, another touchdown. It's a 22-14 game just like that. Kickoff return is over. Enough of that. Let's snooze on the season. Let's move on from the season and start going forward to the next season and the draft and all that shit. Got that everywhere and all types of rumors and whatnot going on. Let's talk about National Science Day. National Signing Day. This past Wednesday, which is always one of those dramatic events where everybody's showing off. Of course, the big winners, figures, go figure. The teams that are always good have the best recruiting class once again. LSU, Florida State, USC. It just seems like these sanctions just do not bother them, huh? Seems like people still want to go to USC, and I don't get it. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would go to USC over UCLA. Makes no sense to me, but I guess the tradition means something. Because you go to school at USC and you go in the middle of the friggin' hood. UCLA is beautiful. Beautiful campus. They play at the Rose Bowl, for fuck's sake. The Rose Bowl is ringing 10 times cooler than the Coliseum. But USC, again, ranked number 5 this year in the recruiting class. Georgia, Ohio State, South Carolina, all your usual suspects once again. You know, they had one guy, one funny story, and a kid by the name of DJ Law signed with 3 schools on National Signing Day. Ole Miss, Utah, and Eastern Mississippi Community College. Signed with all 3 of them. A couple of them ended up backing out. I think he's ended up going to Ole Miss, though. Guys playing that system. We had a kid on my team, though, who committed to Arizona State and last minute switched over to Oregon State. It's amazing. I've talked about this in the program at length, but how these college coaches, their whole, you know, their livelihood, depending on a 17-year-old kid's whims, what schools they go to and what recruiting trips they go to. It's funny when they come down to schools, you know, they go to a school and they meet a girl or something that they really like. Or they go to a party that they have a lot of good times at and a lot of good, you know, and that's the school they end up going to. It's a joke, though. It's just big business. Speaking of business, big business, get back in the NFL. Tony Gonzalez this week came out blasting the Atlanta Falcons, saying that he's asking them to be traded at the deadline. They refused to trade him. Now he's saying he might want to come back for another year. I don't understand why the Falcons just wouldn't trade him, especially if the guy, you know, if the guy is going to retire anyways, why wouldn't they just trade him if the guy's asking to be traded? Whatever you get for him, it's better than a guy who's going to retire and then come out and bash you. Amazing how these people run their organizations. You know, there's no clear vision in these organizations. And then Atlanta goes out and hires Scott Pioli, a guy who's supposed to be a control freak megalomaniac, as an assistant GM. See how that ended up bringing going off. Speaking of going off, about Warren Sapp running his mouth about Michael Strahan. Look, I'm no Michael Strahan fan, you know, a giant and Kelly Ripa's ringing boy toy, but Hall of Famer, no doubt. That has a record for most sacks in the season, Christ's sake. Warren Sapp saying that his resume doesn't stand up. They just gotten a name calling. Amazing how that can happen. Not really. I think Warren Sapp is just dumb. So I don't think it's all that amazing. Moving on. We got Wade Phillips. Said right before he left, which is a segue to my twit bag question. He told Houston that if they hired him as head coach, he would really pull for them to draft Johnny Manziel. They ended up not hiring him, which leads me to dive into the twit bag. From at Polk Panther, do you think it's a good idea for O'Brien, Bill O'Brien, to stake his job on Johnny Manziel as a number one pick in Houston? Well, if you've been listening at all, absolutely. I think Johnny Manziel is a unique talent. Plus, he's from the area. Plus, you know, first, he's a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal player. But if it doesn't work out for Johnny Manziel, you know, it's not from lack of trying. He's a Houston guy. You know, talk about just building excitement for a franchise that needs it. What about listening to the fans? All right, now I know you don't want to listen to the mass of someone, but there's something like that. Just listen to the fans. You know, Manziel would be great for them. So, yes, I think it's a good idea for him to stake his job on Johnny Manziel. I'd rather stake it on a local guy from the area who won the Heisman Trophy than some unknown, you know, Blake Bortles or, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. So, yes, I think it's a good idea for Houston to do it. I think it's a great idea for the franchise to do it. Why wouldn't you? But, you know, I've had enough Johnny Manziel talk because I know I talk about that all the time and I'll continue to talk about that. NFL just keeps marching on. CBS announced they're going to broadcast Thursday night games. They're going to broadcast 8 Thursday night games. And Iguodala and his infinite wisdom, very smart. While CBS broadcasts those games, the NFL Network is going to simultaneously broadcast those games. And then those 8 other games that CBS doesn't have, the NFL Network's going to broadcast those games. Freaking brilliant. Because NFL Network's going to get their advertising dollars anyways in those 8 games. And those 8 other games that they're going to have on their own, they're going to make money on that. $200 million CBS paid for to get the rights to broadcast those games. Just those 8 games alone, $200 million. So we get 8 more games of Jim Nantz and Phil Sims. Oh, joy. What else we got moving on? Retreads going all over the place. 3 head coaches that were fired have immediately been hired as coordinators. Leslie Frazier, who's fired this year, obviously, from the Vikings, who's one of the 2 worst teams I've seen play in the last 5 years, even though they have talent. Hired as a defensive coordinator for the Bucs and Lovie Smith. Jim Schwartz, another terrible tenure in Detroit, highest paid team in the league. Now he's a defensive coordinator for the Bills. Gary Kubiak, worst team in football, Texans this year. Now he's the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. Funny how that goes. Just a bunch of retreads. So, those guys. Then you got a guy like Ron Zook, former head coach of Florida, is now, check this out, the assistant special teams coach for the Packers. Are you freaking joking? How easy is that job to be the assistant special teams coach for the Packers? You're only working on 5 plays, 6 plays. You're not even the head one. Okay, so if the special teams are a disaster, you could always say, oh, I would have done it another way. He's probably getting paid over $100,000 a year just to be the assistant special teams coach for the Packers. Rob Chudzinski was fired this year after a 1-year tenure for the Browns. Well, I watched the NFL sound effects on that, and the guy is just a glorified $4 million a year cheerleader. All he did the whole time was, let's go. Now he's special assistant to the head coach for the Colts. It's amazing. Once these guys get their golden ticket, they just ride that gravy train for the rest of their lives. Can't blame them. Fuck it. That's what they got. Jack Del Rio just re-upped for a 2-year extension for the DC of the Broncos. In the back of his mind, hoping that John Fox won't be able to continue on his duties. I mean, the guy, John Fox practically died this year. They kind of glossed over that. He's got a heart condition. Walk right in. Good for Jack Del Rio, I guess. Another piece of bad news. They're moving the draft, the NFL draft. They're moving it to May 8th through the 10th. What the fuck? Mickey, I used to love it when it was on a Saturday afternoon in April. Are they going to keep pushing that back? Once again, do they listen to the fans? Do the fans really want that in May? Well, it was perfectly fine the way it was until they decided to, ESPN and NFL sat down in their dungeon in their dark lair and decided that they were going to put it on at night, started on Thursday night instead of the Saturday afternoon, which is a standard and everybody liked. Amazing. They moved that back. They just don't listen to their fans at all. Seems like the expansion of the playoffs to 14 teams is something that's going to happen, not next year, but the year after. That's fine. Who really has a problem against more relevant football games being played? Might as well have more playoff games. It means nothing to me. More the merrier. The more games, the merrier. Let's put 14 teams in. That's fine. Put almost half of the league in the playoffs. Whatever. The NHL gets away with it, and it's fine. Dipping back into the college game. 4-star Auburn cornerback recruit. Calvarez Bassent. Found over 20 grams of weed this weekend driving around. Guy just signed on signing day on Wednesday, signed with Auburn, decides to take a cruise around him and his homies with 20 grams of weed. Talking about what we were talking about earlier, people just don't know how good they have it. It's amazing. Sometimes I think athletic prowess and IQ are inversely proportionate. Higher IQ, again, your higher athleticism, the less your IQ is. That stuff happens all the time. Segue into the twit bag from at Save to Favorites. Which do you think will be legalized nationwide first? Marijuana usage or sports betting? Good question. I think unequivocally, though, and it's already happening, is marijuana usage. Because if you have doctors saying that it's good for certain people, they'll always have that reason, you know, to make it legalized. I don't think there's any doctor in the civilized world that's going to say that sports betting is good for people. So in that very fact alone, I think marijuana will be legalized nationwide first before sports betting, which is foolish to me. I don't understand why they still let, you know, Native Americans completely be the only beneficiaries of it other than the state of Nevada. Any other state you go to that has a casino, all owned by Native Americans. I mean, I guess the retribution, you know, the affirmative action, I don't know. I don't really, at this point, you know, how are you going to really, how are you going to make it up to a group of people that lost their ancestors through, you know, horrendous crimes? But, you know, I'm not going to turn this into a history show, but I don't think it does any good to give these people exclusive rights to sports gambling. But to answer the question, marijuana will be legal nationwide first, absolutely. Let's finish out the twit bag because the show's ending before you know it. At Winky Dinky Dog, great name. Who do you think is the worst coach ever to win a Super Bowl? Great question. I would have to say, and I don't know, I think I just have a hair across my ass for this guy, Brian Billick. Brian Billick, who won the Super Bowl as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Supposedly was this offensive genius coming out of Minnesota, yet every team he had in Baltimore was just a substandard offensive team. Had the worst offense and the worst quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl, and they won it strictly on defense, defense, and more defense. So basically, you know, when that guy was calling the plays for Minnesota when they had Randy Moss and with Dante Culpepper and even Randall Cunningham just chucking the ball up to Randy Moss and Chris Carter, any fool could call the offense when they got those weapons. Talent wins, period. Take a phrase from Doug Collins. Last question I'm going to take from the twit bag. At Anthrax Jones. You a winter or summer Olympics man? Oh, I think I painted that picture really clearly. I have very little use for the winter Olympics. You know, too many kids of privilege out there playing in the winter Olympics. Who the hell gets into cross-country skiing / shooting? The biathlon that they had. I watched a little bit last night. Who gets into that? You know, even hockey, you got to be a rich kid, son of a rich kid or an overly zealous parent to get into it. It's like track and field. You can just go out and run against somebody else. Build yourself up that way. I mean, who fucking gets into the luge? What kind of kids are like, oh, I'm going to get into lugeing? You know, just overzealous parents. So, yes, Summer Olympics, not even close. You got boxing. You got basketball. Wrestling, you know, gymnastics. Well, the gymnastics is under the same umbrella as figure skating. You just have to have these overbearing parents who are going to drive you to practice at 4 a.m. and have these crazy, you know, 4'11" coaches. These crazy guys who wear ascots and stuff, coaching these kids on how to do those things. You have to be a wealthy person to have, you know, get your student into that, get your kid into that. Oh, a sport like curling. Speaking of curling, Vernon Davis, tight end, all-pro tight end for the Niners, is the captain, honorary captain of the American curling team. The second Olympics in a row. I guess he's quite a curler. I don't get it. I'd rather watch grass grow than curl. People think that curling's cool. I don't, you know, it's like dots to me. I'm sure it'd be fun to do it. But I prefer shuffleboard. I'd rather be kicking under a couple palm trees, drinking a michelada, playing shuffleboard than freezing my balls off playing ringing, curling on the lakes of Canada. No, thank you. Draft Day, the movie that they've been pumping up on the movie theaters, and then I saw a couple of Draft Day, a couple of trailers day with Kevin Costner and Dennis Leary. Kevin Costner evidently plays some kind of GM, fictitious GM. I'm curious to watch the movie, though. I'm curious to see if the NFL, because it looks as though the NFL is backing it. If Kevin Costner is going to be the GM of a fictitious team, or if he's actually going to be, you know, being the GM for some, you know, someone real. We have to really sit through another Kevin Costner movie, but I will watch it. At the local level in high school, Antonio Pierce, former linebacker for the Giants, Super Bowl champion, starting linebacker for the Giants, just got named the head coach of the prestigious Long Beach Polytechnic Jackrabbit High School. That is the number one high school in the nation in terms of having players drafting the NFL. He is now the head coach. And he's got assistant coach Derek Ward, who was a running back for the Giants, and TJ Houshmandzadeh, who's a pretty good wide receiver for the Bengals. Those are assistant coaches. But he's not going to leave his TV duties. He's not going to leave his gig at ESPN. He's going to leave. His assistant coaches are going to coach when he can't do it. Half-assed job, but people come out of the woodwork to go to Long Beach Poly, so I'm sure he'll be fine. Ted Agu, California, Cal Berkeley, 21 years old, died during off-season workout the other day. It's amazing what they do to these kids, and there's no protection. That's why I think the Northwestern Union's actually a good idea. They beat these kids to death. I've seen it. I've done it. I worked in the strength at Penn State. We were up at 5 in the morning, dragging, ringing water buckets through the foot of snow, having these kids get up at 5 in the morning, who knows what they're doing the night before, and killing them. Killing them. That shit doesn't necessarily translate to wins. You know why? Because they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it at the schools that win, but they're also doing it at the schools that suck. Shit, we were doing it at Division II schools I worked at. They were busting kids up in February, January, 5 in the morning, running them and lifting them for 2-3 hours before they go to class. Brutal. Brutal. Kid up and died. Ted Agu, 21 years old, up and died. And that happens all the time. For some reason, never report on that. ESPN never talks about that stuff. And if they do, they gloss over it. Vicious game. And it just made more vicious by the coaches and the powers that be. All right, what do we got? Another side, another interesting stat. I saw now that Peyton Manning lost the last 7 regular season MVPs have lost the Super Bowl. Last 7 regular season MVPs that have been in the Super Bowl have been on the losing side of that equation. Kurt Warner was the last one. It was 2000 regular season MVP to win a Super Bowl. That tide's got to change, though. If the team with the Super Bowl or the MVP next year plays, I would bet on that team because there's no way they would keep that up. You know, as far as sheer numbers are going to work against them. Speaking of NFL awards, obviously Peyton Manning won the MVP in that program they showed there, that, you know, awards night that they try to make, you know, ESPN or NFL Network type shit. But MVP Peyton Manning, Offensive Rookie of the Year Eddie Lacy, Coach of the Year Ron Rivera. Oh, please. Are you fucking kidding me? Ron Rivera just another one with cheerleaders. Bob, he says go for it on fourth down. And just Riverboat Ron sounds cool. So people got sucked into that. You're fucking joking. It's Pete Carroll, no doubt about it. That's why those awards, like, you know, Heisman, all that shit. And baseball, I've been saying it for years. Wait till everything's done. Wait till the World Series is done. Wait till the Super Bowl is done. Why are you going to cut it short before the season plays out is beyond me. Riverboat Ron, the guy who was up until week 10 was as good as gone with a team that's tremendously talented. Now all of a sudden he's Coach of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sheldon Richardson. Defensive line for the Jets. Great player, good call. Sexy Rexy, got to get them going. Defensive Player of the Year, Luke Kuechly from Carolina. Go figure. You got Luke Kuechly and you got Cam Newton. Both sides of the ball. Make you Coach of the Year real quick. Comeback Player of the Year, I thought was interesting. Phillip Rivers. He really fall off that badly to make him Comeback Player of the Year. I thought he's been all right for the, you know, he's been all right for the duration. Funny how they could just make up an award, and there you go, Phillip Rivers. All right, I feel like I'm still missing things. What else do I got before I go? Well, which coach would most like to play for? This is the time of year where they have all types of polls for players. Which coach do you most want to play for? Number one, Pete Carroll. Gets back to what we were saying earlier. Number two, Mike Tomlin. Obviously, obviously Mike Tomlin. Guy says obviously every third word. Mike Tomlin second. John Fox third. Thought that was a funny one. John Fox, personable guy, third. Fourth, Sexy Rexy. Five, Belichick. Six, Andy Reid. Seven, Sean Payton. Eight, Jim Harbaugh. Nine, John Harbaugh. Funny, all those guys will be coaches, head coaches or coordinators for the next 15, 20 years if they want to be. Well, I shouldn't say that. Who knows how long John Fox has left in him. Sexy Rexy seems like he rides the edge. Pete Carroll, he's 64 years old, something like that. Pete Carroll's been around a long time. HGTV doesn't do a good job for Pete Carroll. From a distance, with Pete Carroll, he's still looking, classically handsome man. You bring the camera in on Pete Carroll, he shows his age. Mike Tomlin's going to be around forever. He's going to be recycling. And I do the show in 15 years. Obviously, you still be obviously talking about Mike Tomlin. Peyton and the Harbaugh is the same thing. Oh, one feel-good story before I go I want to talk about, and it's kind of sad, but it's something that really blew my mind. Demaryius Thomas, receiver for the Broncos, his mother and his grandmother are serving like 25 years sentence right now for selling crack. They never seen him play a game live because they've been in prison for selling crack. In typical ESPN fashion, that's where I read the story, they were, trying to make you empathetic. But shit, it was like the third time the grandmother had been caught selling crack in jail. Absolutely amazing. You would think, I don't even know why I bring that up. It's just depressing, but I thought it was interesting. His mother and his grandmother in jail, busted for selling crack. All right, next week, I got a guest coming in or on the phone. I'm going to be talking about signing day in the NCAA, a little bit more locally. I'm going to go a little bit more local and talk about some kids who've been signed in the area. Talk about that with the reporter from, the Inland Daily Bulletin, something like that. And the following week, I've got a couple things in. A couple of my buddies there who are coaching at Penn State. Hopefully going to try to get them on the phone. They've been playing coy, but now that the signing day is come and gone, and actually I have a couple of them going to be flying out here, I'm going to see if I can try to get them in. I know I've been saying that for a while. All right, we will be back. Follow us on Twitter at Hard Yards LA, Skid Row Studios, or on iTunes at Hard Yards LA. I'm the coach. I will see you next week. When I'm in the shit, but they can't be fucking with my pistol grip.